We started last week. We're going to end this week with answering a question that I posed on Easter Sunday, is what were we created for? And just a ton of messages, email responses this week from last week's. If you happen to maybe missed last week's, you could go online and listen to the podcast, First Service. The response has been, I kind of mentioned, I think, last week that how I'm going to approach it from the Word of God takes a lot of pressure off from having to live life in such a way that we continually question if everything that we're doing is exactly what God called us to do. That can get really stressful. Because have any of you ever felt like you've made a mistake in walking with God? Wow, okay, four of us are willing to admit it, all right? Okay, so we all have, right? And when it comes to the will of God, have we all struggled on some level of going, man, I just wonder if I'm doing exactly the right thing. We seem to have the idea that when things are going good, man, I'm in the flow, everything's good. And then when it goes south and we hit a couple bumps, then it's like we begin to question ourselves, right? And man, did I make the right move? Did I make the right call? Man, I knew I shouldn't have, you know, or whatever it may be. Then there may be people in your lives that are looking at you from the outside. They don't live on your inside, so they really don't know what you're thinking, what you're praying, or anything like that. They're just judging us from the outside, right? And they see things going good. Boy, your flow, or you know, whatever it may be. Then there's some weird people that when things are going really good, you can't be in the will of God because there needs to be attacks of the devil. Right? So it just doesn't seem like you can answer it. I mean, because unless there's attack, you know, I've heard entire sermons. Hey, if everything's going good in your life, that's the first clue you're not doing right. Really, I mean, I have. There's other people that are shaking their head. It's like, we've heard that. If you're doing really great, that can't be God, because the enemy doesn't like you. And if the enemy isn't attacking you, and if there aren't problems going on in your life, then bless God, you're not doing the will of God. So it's like, really, what do we do? What do we do? We've all been there. And so last week I talked from the book of Romans chapter 16, the portion of scripture where Paul starts it off and says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and then into the Greek. We read down later, down to verse 21, and we found that one of the things that you can rest for sure, that you don't need to question, man, should have I taken that job at this place, or should I taken it at this place? Should I move to Klamath Falls, or should have I moved to Pittsburgh? That's an easy one. That's an easy answer to that one. But you know what I mean? It's like, man, should have I taken that job there? Should have we moved here? Should have we gone to Colorado? Should we have gone to Minnesota? Should we gone to, you know, just wherever it may be? If we just have this idea that the Apostle Paul revealed to the Roman church and to us as well, that the will of God for us is to live our life in such a way, the just shall live by faith. Our life should be lived in such a way that we reveal the truth of who God is, as opposed to live our life in such a way that we suppress the truth. Now stop and think about if that could be a guiding factor in fulfilling what God created us to be, then that's, in my opinion, it's only my opinion, that's the only way that Paul says, when Paul says, I'm content with whatever state I am in, right? In other words, all of us have had seasons of boon, and all of us have seasons where it seems just like the wheels of life fell off. Am I right? If I live with the idea that, man, I shouldn't have, if we go by circumstances, then we're just completely going to be confused and second guess ourselves, and we'll never ever be able to live life confidently. Because there'll be those that say, if it's going good, you must be in the flow of God. Others will say, if it's going good, then you can't be in the flow of God because the enemy needs to be attacking you. But if we have the idea that, you know what, my life is to be lived in such a way that I reveal the truth of who God is, then I really can be content in whatever season of life there may be. I can be content in the fact that, you know what, I'm living in such a way that I'm still revealing God in the great times, and I'm still revealing God in the bad times. Amen? And then I don't have to go with this roller coaster based upon how it seems like I'm doing. Today we're going to go to the book of Ephesians and read another portion of scripture that, when I say it takes the pressure off, what I don't mean is that we don't need to live on purpose or intentionally, okay? It just means that some of the specifics of maybe what we've heard growing up in terms of varying degrees of messages of how we determine, and are you in the will of God, but are you in the perfect? Well, then when the teaching came out that there's kind of three wills, there's the permissible will of God, there's the good will of God, and then there's the perfect will of God. Oh, everybody's confused. Right? That's found in Romans. So that then you'll be able to prove that the will of God is good, perfect, and acceptable. So then teaching came out and began to break that down. Well, there must be three wills of God. And I'm like, fine, Lord. And I shared that when I came to a spot in life that I just realized that, you know what, Lord, that Romans portion of scripture really became, for me, it set me free from being just totally, I'll even use the word bound, by just really second-guessing myself. Man, should I do this? Should I do that? I was sharing that with somebody, and you know what they told me? They said, well, obviously you don't know the voice of God, because you'd never have those questions. I'm just like, hang it. So now not only do I not know the will of God, I don't know the voice of God, I just says I'm stuck. Right? But once I began to realize that, you know what? I can live in such a way that it makes it easier for people to see God. Or I can live in a way that makes it muddy to see God. And I figure, if you know what? If I just live in a way that makes it easier for people to see God through how I live, that's got to be good. Amen. So this next one is even, I won't say simple, but I'll say it's pretty hard to get it goofed up. Okay? Let's start here in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. So who would the who were dead in trespasses and sins be referring to? Us. Just say me. Right? Because all of us were dead in our trespasses and sins, right? So he made alive. So he's writing to Ephesian Christians. He's not writing to Ephesian sinners. He's writing to the church at Ephesus, right? So when he's saying you he made alive, he's not talking to a sinner he made alive. He's talking to Christians. So the idea is that we're right in the middle of this thing from the get-go. So Christians were made alive who were dead in their trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So Paul is just simply saying there was a time in our lives that we marched to the beat of a different drummer. Now that we've given our heart to Jesus Christ, we march to his drumbeat, right? We used to march to a worldly drumbeat, now we don't. Among whom also we all once conducted of ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. In other words, he's just saying to Christians, pre-Christ or BC, before Christ, we were all just, if I could say it this way, we were ruled by our fleshly carnal nature, right? And he's saying, no, now he's reminding the church of Ephesus that you were made alive. But God, who is rich in mercy, aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And then in parenthesis, you see, by grace you've been saved. Thank God. Let's say thank God for his love. Wow. Even while, so what I love about even while we were dead in our trespasses, God's love for us was not based upon our actions to him. Right? That's what makes the gospel, the message of the gospel, so good. His love for me, and you know, we're in the second week after Easter, so we're still in the Easter season. His love for me, his love for you, wasn't based upon how good we were doing at living. Thank God for that. While we were dead in our trespasses and sins, while we were living according to the flesh, not only in our physical side, but in our mental side, thank God that he sent Jesus for us. He made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you remember that 70s show, Moving On Up, right? Up to what? To the east side or the what's the good side? To the east side, yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, we've moved on up, right? So he raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Everybody say positional. Okay, positional is one thing, practical is another. Are you with me? 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So positionally, how many of you know we are, not going to be, but we are positionally seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we are the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Practically, how righteous are you? That's what Peter says, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Do you know what that literally means? That literally means when it says work out your salvation with fear and trembling, it doesn't mean that you obtain your salvation by works. It means that the work that's been completed on the inside now needs to make its way to the outside. And what that just talks about is the difference between positional and practical. So I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now I need to do righteously. Are you with me? Is that clear? Okay, because that then becomes a kind of a central theme of where we're getting to here. So he raised us up together, verse 6, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So listen, when the enemy tells you you're the worm of the dust, when the enemy tries to condemn you, now listen, if you've sinned and the Holy Spirit is convicting you of that sin, repent. But if the enemy's just you know, hacking away at you, condemning you for past failures or whatever, I just want to encourage you. You're on the east side. He's in the south. For all you southern friends who are watching, take that in context. Anyhow, are you with me? You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're nothing. Okay? When he does, just remind yourself where you are. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank God for that. Okay? Doesn't mean we're perfect. It just means that positionally, spiritually, we are in heavenly places. And so that's important because, listen, when we remind ourselves of that, you know what that's good for? That's good for our flesh. It's good for our carnal nature to remind ourselves, hey, that is not befitting a person. I'm talking to myself, right? Got some of your attention, though. It's like when you start to go down a certain road, it's good to remind yourself who you are. It's like, wait a minute, you're a child of the Most High God. You would love to go there, but you can't. Because that's getting down in the gutter, and you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That action is below me. Amen? Okay. Verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding. Everybody say exceeding. How many of you know God's not a just get by God? Amen. The exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Do you know why we need the exceeding riches in his grace and kindness? Because you're exceedingly good at blowing it. So am I. Amen? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is it, salvation, or you could also apply it to grace. It is the gift of God. How many of you know the grace of God is a gift, and salvation is a gift as well, right? For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There's not a person in here that can boast about how good they were when they came to God. Not a one of us, right? All of us, in our trespasses and sins, deserved death. Am I right? Scripture's clear on that. Romans is very, very clear on that. So here's the thing. So when we come to God as we are, which is the only way we can, when we come to God as we are, with all of our warts, with all of our scars, with all of our sin, with all of our flesh out in the open, with all of our carnal thoughts, thank God for the gift of His grace and mercy that He bestows upon us. And when we come to Him and submit our lives to Him, He makes us a brand new creation in Him. Isn't that incredible? Now, verse 10 is really, really important. It's the crux of the whole chapter. And it answers, it's another answer to the question of why are we created, okay? For we are His workmanship. Everybody say, I'm His workmanship. So listen, when the enemy tries to tell you you're junk, you can just tell him that the God that I serve, my Creator, doesn't create junk. I'm His workmanship. Man, if you've ever seen a great carving, a great sculptor, a great paint, a great painting, a great anything that's artistic, doesn't it just make the creator of that just look wonderful? Well, we are His creation, right? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now look at this. It says, for good works. Everybody say it. Created in Christ Jesus, for good works. Now let me just ask you a question. Stop there. Is that hard to misinterpret? Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Is that pretty easy to understand? For me it is. So what's a good work? Well, anything that's work and anything that's good. Right? Well, Pastor Lynn, how would you define good works? Pretty easy. Something you do. Everybody say do. How many of you know Christianity is a do religion? I know some of you are going, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. Just bear with me. Okay? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now put that together with, we are created to reveal God. And let me just tell you something. When you marry the two together, it's a pretty simple way to live. Could we say it this way? Good works. Now listen, this isn't the only way, but could we say this? Good works go a long way to revealing the truth about God. Would that be safe to say? Good works. Now I hear some of you are just agitated on the inside. It's like, I sure hope somebody doesn't think that we can get born again by good works. I'm not saying that. Not saying that at all. It's clear in verses 8 and 9. It's very clear that our obtaining of salvation has nothing to do with good works. Are you with me? But once we are born again, Paul just simply is telling the church at Ephesus, hey, church, Christians, you are the workmanship of God in Christ Jesus, and let me tell you what you were created for. Christians, he's not talking, this isn't a formula for sinners to become saints. He's talking to the church. He says, you were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now some of you deep thinkers just go way too deep in that. Because you're like, that just sounds too simple to me. Well, let me ask you a different question. Isn't just putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and that makes us go from a dead person to an alive person? Is that not pretty simple? So I'm just going to hit the other side. So wait a minute. For you deep thinkers that think it can't be that easy, let me just present it another way. Well, let me just tell you, let's just put the subtext of everything. Now, let me tell you what. Terry, you're not a Christian yet, but I want to tell you something. Becoming a Christian, Terry, is the easiest, most simple thing in the world. Terry, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
Do you believe that he was born of a virgin?
Yes.
You do. Do you believe that Jesus lived a sinless life?
Yes.
Do you believe that he died on a cross for your sins?
Yeah.
And that he rose again?
Yeah.
And he's alive forevermore?
Yes.
Would you like him to be your Lord?
Yeah.
All right. Bow your head in prayer. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Help him, Lord. Heavenly Father, I believe. Jesus is your Son.
Jesus is your Son.
That he died and rose again for me.
He died and rose again for me.
And he took my sins upon the cross.
And he took my sins upon the cross.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
I now commit my life to you.
I now commit my life to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, Terry, I want you to know, how simple was that?
Simple.
Okay, but now living's going to be super complex. All right, Terry. I'm just telling you what you just did is the most simple thing you'll ever do. From here on out, you ain't going to understand anything. If it starts off simple, wouldn't it be possible to keep it simple? Hey, listen, I'm not saying to just, you know, I'm just not, the whole context of what I'm talking about is the person's heart that's committed to God. So I'm not just talking about, you know, living life just in such a way to just fulfill your whims. But for the Christian whose heart is to follow God and to be committed to God and to be submitted to God, I'm going to tell you what, two things. One, live in such a way that it makes it easy for people to see God. Just simple. So that then just translate into, if there's one thing I am, it has to work by the end of the service. Do you know what I mean by that? So that means when we get ready to celebrate communion, don't get mad at the person that cuts in front of you. Are you with me? Let's have a sweet communion service. And then on the way out of the parking lot, be patient and kind. Now don't go overboard. Somebody go, but do it in a way that's godly. And then when we go out to the restaurant today, if you're going to go out to eat, be kind to the waiter or the waitress. Tip them. Yeah, I mean, and is that potentially? Because I know some of you, this is hard for you to hear. There's a part of you that, seriously, I just sense for some of you, there's a part of you that just goes, man, I wish it were that simple. I just encourage you, start making it that simple. I'm not talking about not ever gravitating towards that place in life that with your personality, who you are, how God created you, you're using that to its best. And so that translates maybe into a vocation that's, you know, if you can't stand kids, okay, don't become an elementary school teacher. Don't go and get a job at a daycare. Okay, you know, I mean, if it's off, if you're wacky with don't like kids, then get saved. But I mean, if you know, you just don't have the patience for kids. Okay, cool. And just don't gravitate that way. Gravitate to where there's a natural sort of a passionate flow. Does that make sense? But don't get hung up on, man, I just think I missed it with God because I took this job 15 years ago. Now I'm stuck and I've missed God all these years. Or worse yet, I hear this all the time. Well, you know, I just never really obeyed what God wanted me to do. Well, what did God want you to do? Well, and they can never put it, pinpoint it. It's like, so I kind of just been a second-class citizen all these years. No. Are you living in such a way that you're revealing God, the truth of who God is? And if so, thank God for it. And then, does your works, which is how you live, support or hinder your desire to reveal God? Amen? So it's already clear that Paul says that, you know, we're not saved by works. But what Paul is very clear about for the Christian, good works. Everybody say good works. Better be a part of our life. Okay, that got a resounding amen. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What does that mean? Which God prepared? What did God prepare? Good works. How did he prepare it? It's who he is. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God. Good is just God elongated. Therefore, remember. What? What's the therefore? For what he just said. And part of what he just said, that we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who's made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Aren't you glad that wall's broken down? Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off and to those who were near. For through him we have both access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, so there was a lot of heady stuff right there, right? There was a lot of stuff for the deep thinkers right there. For through him we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Paul ends with a lot of pretty deep, pretty cool theological stuff about the nature of man and the nature of God. But what I love about that is that when it comes to living life, Paul was quite simple. Quite simple, right? So spiritual things, how many of you know you can jump into that sea of spiritual things and you can swim as deep as you want to go? Just make sure you have oxygen. Because you could die in the middle of it as well, right? But the kicker is that when it comes to living life, Paul could sum up this entire chapter by saying this: before Jesus Christ, you live controlled by your flesh, your carnal nature. You're not that anymore. When you put all of Paul's writings together, he says this: that when we lived according to the flesh, we did what was called unrighteousness. And that unrighteousness suppressed the truth of God, making it difficult for people to see God. He said, but that's not who you are now. You're a Christian. Everybody say, I'm a Christian, if you are. I'm a Christian now. I can't live that way. Okay, so you're a Christian. Now, here's the deal. Let me tell you why you were created, church. This is the Apostle Paul talking. says you were created to do works of righteousness. And the only reason you can do works of righteousness is because of the gift of God who saved you. Amen? So now, here's how you need to live life. Now you're a different identity. You're no longer unsaved. You're now saved. You're born again. You're a Christian. You were created for good works, which is the same as, if you look at it, the just shall live by faith. Or, say it another way, the just shall do righteously. And in that, that's what reveals God to people who need to see God. And you just live your life like that and be content with whatever state that you're in. Doesn't matter if things are going great for you or things aren't going great for you. Doesn't matter if you're in this vocation or that vocation. Just whatever vocation you're in and whatever state you're in, reveal God by living by faith and doing righteously. Don't live in such a way that you live in an unrighteous way, which then muddies the water and actually suppresses the truth of who God is. And if you will do that, you will do well. Let me ask, does that make it simple? I would love to be able to go to Terry and say, listen, Terry, you came to Christ simply. Let me just tell you what, Terry, the Holy Spirit has made a way that you can live life simply. Well, what should I do? What are you doing? I'm selling insurance. Okay. So sell insurance. Awesome. Is it your passion? Yep, it's my passion. Okay, cool. Sell it well. And live in such a way that everything you do and everything you say is godly, that brings honor and glory to God. And to do that well. And you know what, Terry? You can live the rest of your life with that mindset that I'm going to live in such a way that God can become known. I don't know about you, but that's simple enough for me. Amen? I still hear some of you saying, yeah, but cool. Pray. Ask the Holy Spirit, you know, because I really do believe as well that I can ask God. When Drett and I came here 29 years ago, almost 29 years ago, we asked God about it. Right? We just didn't willy-nilly pick up and go from, you know, 5-day drive from Canada to here just because we thought it was a good drive. To the best of our ability, we felt like we heard from the Lord, and so we packed up our family and we moved. Has every day been wonderful? No. Were there ever times, especially in the beginning, that we questioned? Once. It was a big deal. But you know what? We just try to live our life in such a way that we reveal God as opposed to suppress God. Amen? So yeah, pray. There's, you know, when choices are presented before you, ask God. It's okay. Just don't get hung up thinking when whatever decision you do make goes south or just doesn't look good for a while, just don't start second guessing yourself. Well, I must be out of the will of God. Are you revealing God and are you doing good works? Just remember, you're not doing good works to get God. You're doing good works to reveal God. There's a complete difference there. Complete difference there. And if you're doing that, enjoy life. Amen? Because God will do great things through you. Praise the Lord. Okay.